If you knew something bad was going to happen to you later in the day, would you do everything you could to avoid it, or would you go through with the day just as is and let that bad thing happen to you? I would love to hear your thoughts on it, so put it in the comment section below. But today we're going to talk about how Jesus knew everything bad that was going to happen to him that day, and he still carried on in his mission and his purpose. And we're going to talk about what that means for us today in this devotional. By the way, my name is Tom Pounder. I'm the online campus pastor here at New Life Christian Church. And the day started off just normal. Actually, have you ever had a day that, like, when you look back hours later, you're like, the day started off so normal and then chaos erupted? I know I've had that day. I'm like, I wish I could go back to the very beginning of that day and change everything. But the day started off really normal for Jesus and the disciples, and then things started getting a little weird. And today we're going to walk through Matthew chapter 26, verses 17 and forward. And we're just going to look how the day played out. I'm going to read some scripture. We're going to talk about it. But we're ultimately going to talk about how Jesus knew what was going to happen. And because of his love and his care for us, his compassion, his grace, and forgiveness for us, he continued to go on with his mission and what that means for us today. So let's pick up starting in verse 17. And we see that the disciples are at the Passover, where they're having that Last Supper together. And in verse 19, it says this: "So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. When evening came, he was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating," this is what Jesus said, "Truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me." Talk about a buzzkill right there, right? Seriously, talk about something crazy happening. Like, hey, we're all enjoying time together. Well, one of you is going to betray me today. And so they're all like, what? And they said, deeply distressed, each one began to say to them, "Surely not I." And then Jesus replied, "The one who is dipping his hand with me in the bowl will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him, but woe to the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for him if he had not been born." And Judas, his betrayer, replied, "Surely not I, Rabbi." "You have said it," he told them. So here we are. They're having dinner. Again, the day was starting out normal. They're having dinner. They're having the Passover feast, which they did normally. And Jesus says, "Someone's going to betray me." And not just somebody, but someone who's been with him for years, someone who's a close friend of his, and he is betraying him. So Judas is the betrayer. And while Judas is a disciple of Jesus, one of the 12, it's debatable how close of a friend and a disciple he was to Jesus. It wasn't like Peter, but surely nothing could happen with Peter that would throw things off during the day, right? Surely nothing. Well, let's pick up our story on verse 31. It says this: "Then Jesus said to them, 'Tonight all of you will fall away because of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you in Galilee.' And Peter told him, 'Even if everyone falls away because of you, I will never fall away.' 'Truly I tell you,' Jesus said to him, 'tonight, before the rooster crows three times, you will deny me.' 'Even if I have to die with you,' Peter told him, 'I will never deny you.' And all the disciples said the same thing." So here's the deal. Jesus, they're having dinner. Judas did his thing, and they're having dinner still. And Jesus says, "Hey, listen, all of you are going to fall away." And Peter, because Peter's so bold, he just says, "No, I'm never going to do it." But Jesus says, "You will." And so Jesus, again, predicting that all of them are going to fall away, in particular, Peter. How about that as a little gut punch? In the moment of crisis, in the moment of need, all your friends abandon you. That's just crazy. But Jesus knew that, and he continued on with his mission. So we pick up the story where Jesus said, "Let's go and pray." And so they go to a certain spot and pray. And taking along Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. He said to them, "I'm deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and stay awake." Going a little further, he fell face down and prayed, "My Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Again, Jesus knew that this is going to happen, and he continued to pray. He continued to go before God. And then he came to his disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So couldn't you stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray so that you won't enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And Jesus goes off again and prays and comes back again. And guess what? They're still sleeping. At a moment of need, at a moment of crisis, Jesus is praying before God. He's offering up to God. He's asking other people, pray with me, help me, stay awake, be an encouragement for me. And all they do is fall asleep. Again, another act of betrayal in some sort, that you're not even going to stand up for your own friend who is going through this really hard time. But Jesus knew that this was going to happen. Jesus knew they would all fall away again. And yet, he still continued with his mission. And then we come to the point of real crisis, where Judas comes with a bunch of other people and they arrest him. Picking up in the 47th verse, it says this, "While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, suddenly arrived. A large mob with swords and clubs was with him from the chief priests and the elders. His betrayer had given them a sign, 'The one I kiss, he is the one, arrest him.' So immediately he went up to Jesus and said, 'Greetings, Rabbi,' and kissed him. 'Friend,' Jesus asked him, 'why have you come?' Then they came up and took hold of him and arrested him." Jesus was betrayed by his friend. This is the first real act of betrayal right here, where Jesus is arrested by Judas. And again, Jesus could have done any number of things here. He could have waved his hand and all of them been gone. He could have ascended up to heaven right there and said, "See you later, sayonara, suckers, I'm not doing this." But he didn't. Jesus knew that this was going to happen, and he still continued with his mission. And he went before them. He went before the Sanhedrin. And in verse 59, we pick up the story. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false testimony against Jesus. See, they didn't have real testimony. They could only have false testimony. And so that they could put Jesus to death. But they could find none, even though many false witnesses came forward. Finally, two who came forward stated, "This man said, 'I can destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days.' The high priest stood up and said to him, 'Don't you have any answer to these men or testifying against you?' But Jesus kept silent." Again, he could have done any number of things, but he remained silent. He remained committed to his mission. And the high priest said to him, "I charge you under oath of the living God, tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God." And Jesus told him, "You have said it. But I tell you, in the future, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his robes and said, "He has blasphemed. Why do you still need witnesses? See, you've heard the blasphemy. What is your decision?" And they answered, "He deserves death." And they spat in his face and beat him. Others slapped him and said, "Prophesy to us, Messiah, who has hit you?" Jesus is getting beaten up, false testimony after false testimony, getting spat on, getting beaten up. He knew this was going to happen. Remember, this is still the same time. He knew this was going to happen, and he continued on with his mission. But then we get to Peter. Let's pick up at verse 69. "Now Peter was sitting outside the courtyard. A servant girl approached him and said, 'You were with Jesus of the Galilean too.' But he denied it in front of everyone, 'I don't know what you're talking about.' When he'd gone out of the gateway, another woman saw him and told those who were there, 'This man was with Jesus the Nazarene.' And again he denied it with an oath, 'I don't know the man.' After a little while, those standing there approached Peter and said, 'You really are the one of them, since even your accent gives away.' And then he started to curse and to swear with an oath, 'I don't know that man.' And immediately Peter remembered the words Jesus had spoken, 'Before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. Again, this all happened within a few hours. Again, the day started off so normal, but here we are. Jesus has been betrayed by his friends. They've all fallen away, and he's been beaten up. He's been accused of false things. And yet Jesus knew all of this would happen. Jesus knew that a friend was going to betray him. Jesus knew that his friends were going to fall asleep while he was praying on a stressful night. Jesus knew that he was going to be mocked and beaten up. And Jesus knew that his friend was going to deny him. Jesus knew all these things were going to happen, but he still carried on with the mission. Furthermore, Jesus knew that all these things were going to happen, but he would still do it every single day. He would still go back in the day and do it all over again. So that's what stood out to me. Jesus knew that all these things were going to happen and that he would still do it again over and over and over again because he loves us and he cares for us. He chose to do this. And I think a lot of times when we look back on bad days in our lives, we would choose to do anything but to avoid all the pain and the suffering that Jesus did. But he chose to do this. And again, he would do it again over and over and over again. So what stands out to you from this passage? I would love for you to share with me. Again, there is a lot that happened during this passage. So share with me either in the comment section below or email me at tomp@newlife.church. But I would love to encourage you to really think through what Jesus chose to do and how that impacts your life. I know for me, a guy that would go through all of that for me, we couldn't help but think that he is truly the Messiah. He's someone who loves me deeply, and that impacted my life forever. So what stands out to you? Again, share in the comment section below or email me. I would love to encourage you or answer any questions that you might have today. But God is good, and so is Jesus, and they chose to do this for us. What are you going to do because of their actions today? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for today. Thank you for choosing to die for us, choosing to go through all the pain and the suffering that you did. You knew this was going to happen, and you still chose to do this. So Lord, I just pray that you would guide us, you would direct us, and you would help us respond to you, that we would choose to follow you because of what you chose to do for us. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Thanks for being with me, everyone. I pray that you have a blessed rest of your day.